Our routine was fairly simple. Whenever a new song came along, if I hadn't heard it privately, I'd sit on a high stool and he would stand in front of me with his guitar and sing the song.
I read the news today, oh boy, living is easy with eyes closed.
And it was gorgeous. I loved the word imagery, I loved the harmonic changes.
John just put his guitar against the amplifier, but it was on a bit, so it started to feed back. And the A string just went... And we said, that's it, can we have that?
I'm so glad that she's my little girl. It took me so long to find out, and I found out.
Yeah, that was surprised me. I don't know what we were doing there. I want to talk to George Martin about that. Why were we always putting the drums on the right and why wasn't it in the middle? I think that was surprised.
Hi all, once again it's Mick Delevingne from the BTO Band. Thanks a lot, Joe Johnson, for letting me do this. Man, this is so much fun. Okay, so here's something I have to talk about. Now, I am the furthest thing from a conspiracy theorist, but hear me out on this one. The old thing about Sgt. Pepper's was it was mixed in mono. And the Beatles, George Martin and Jeff Emerick, spent a long time mixing that album in mono. They did a lot of stuff that was different than what ended up on the stereo album. For example, She's Leaving Home, they sped the tape up a little bit when they were mixing it so Paul's voice would sound younger. He wanted his voice to sound younger in that song. Also, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, John wanted his voice to sound a little more dreamy, so they slowed the tape down when they were mixing that one. Little odd things that they didn't do on the stereo. Not to mention the sequences, like where the audience laughter comes in, where the chicken is bucking in between good morning, good morning. All of us nut bars that are crazy about the Beatles know the difference between the mono and the stereo. If you don't, and you're a Beatles fan, really, you should check it out for your own interests, because there's actually quite a bit of difference between those two mixes. But I have to go on to something that I recently discovered, and I don't know what to think of this, but I'm just going to play them for you, see what you think. So we've established that the Beatles took a long time mixing the album in mono, and then they very, very quickly mixed it in stereo because they didn't care about it. They thought stereo was a passing fad or something, but they didn't spend a lot of time on the stereo. However, I've been listening to the stereo version most of my life, and I got used to a lot of Paul McCartney's bass lines. When I was revisiting the mono mixes, I wasn't hearing them. It wasn't just phasing in and out like phase cancellation. I swear it wasn't that. And I'm going to play you some examples. First of all, fixing a hole. I'm going to play you the stereo version first on these sections of the song and listen to the bass lines. And then when you listen to the mono, you're going to go, where are they? And it's not like they're undermixed. You can hear bass, but it's not the same bass. Listen carefully to these.
Where it will go. And it-
now, the mono version. Listen to this.
Where it will go.
It goes on and on. Here's the next section.
Wandering, there I will.
And now the mono.
There I will go.
Okay, one more of these and then we'll move on. Thanks for your patience, but I really think there's something going on here. And once again, the mono version of the same area of the song. Pay really close attention to the bass lines in all of these. Now, dear listener, that's why I had to give the disclaimer about me not being a conspiracy theorist at the beginning of this. My thoughts are, when listening to this, I wonder if when the Beatles went back to remix that album in stereo, did Paul McCartney go back in and redo his bass tracks and make them cleaner and more clear and precise? The reason I say there's a possibility he did is because on quite a few songs on that album, because he was such a fan of James Jamerson from Motown, he was always trying to get his bass up in the mix and make it really present on the records. So a lot of the songs on Sgt. Pepper, the bass was the last thing to be recorded, which would make it one of the more easy things to overdub. Just a thought, you decide. I hope you enjoyed that. Now we're going to delve more into the Sgt. Pepper things, like the different anomalies between the mono versions and the stereo versions. Like I said, the tape speed and this sort of thing. We won't go too long. I can just play you little bits so you can hear the difference in pitch and things like that. Another song that I don't think I brought up earlier is When I'm 64. When I'm 64 was recorded in the key of C. When they mixed it, they moved it up an entire quarter tone higher to C sharp, so that Paul McCartney would sound younger, because he wrote the song when he was around 14 years old, and I guess he just wanted it to sound that way. So let's go over a few of these things. I'm going to play you the mono version and then the stereo version, back to back, so you can hear the pitch changes. First up, She's Leaving Home, mono version. Remember, Paul McCartney wanted his voice to sound younger, so they sped it up.
Wednesday morning, 5 o'clock as the day begins.
When they mixed the stereo version, they kept the tape deck at standard speed.
Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock as the day begins.
I'm going to move quickly through these. These are quite nuanced. Some of the people may not hear the changes, and I'm, you know, wary of that. So I'll just keep moving quickly to try to get through this part till we get onto some juicier stuff later. Next up is Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. When they mixed it for mono, they slowed the tape down to make John's voice sound more dreamy. Once again, when they mixed it in stereo, they just kept the tape speed at standard pitch. First up, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, mono.
In a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies.
Now quickly, the stereo version at regular speed.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies.
Lovely Rita, this is a bit more difficult, so I'm going to take it around where the chorus starts. And once again, they slowed it down slightly to make the song just a bit thicker. Maybe you can hear it, maybe you can't.
Lovely Rita, meet a maid, nothing can come between us. When it gets dark, I tow your heart away. Standing by.
And now the stereo version.
Lovely Rita, meet a maid, nothing can come between us. When it gets dark, I tow your heart away.
So the aforementioned When I'm 64. Paul McCartney wrote the song when he was quite young and wanted his voice to sound young. So it was recorded in the key of C, and they sped the tape up to the key of C sharp. So let's listen to it in the key of C sharp first.
When I get older, losing my hair, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine.
And now in the key of C, at the speed it was actually recorded at.
When I get older, losing my hair, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine? Birthday greetings, bottle of wine.
Crazy, huh? It all makes sense now when you listen to it. Hey all, once again, Mick Delavie here from Bachman-Turner Overdrive, or BTO, and once again, I'm going to thank Joe Johnson for giving me the time of my life. This is so much fun. I've loved this show for years, and to be on it is an absolute honor. So we're going to move ahead now to the White Album, and we're going to go through some things on that. Basically, I'm going to concentrate mostly on Back in the USSR and Dear Prudence, the two songs that Paul McCartney played drums on when Ringo took a hiatus. I guess Ringo wasn't feeling very respected and decided, I'm getting out of here. The band is crap and I've got to go. You know, there's squabbles. And he left. So the band kept recording without him. And so we're gonna start on that. Back in the USSR, most music is about the feel and not the technique. And this is a prime example of that. Paul's on drums. He's not the world's greatest drummer, but he does have fantastic feel and meter. So we're going to do that. We're also going to listen to the bass parts, because I always thought the bass parts were typical. Wasn't it surprising when I actually listened to the isolated tracks and realized that for the first verse, the bass is actually playing like a halftime feel? Who knew? I'm assuming that it's John Lennon on bass guitar, George on rhythm, and Paul on drums. Or it's possible it's George on bass. Apparently, notoriously, John hated playing bass. But he did on a few occasions, as we learned from the Let It Be movie. So let's listen for this halftime feel on the bass in the first verse, like I was talking about. Now let's isolate Paul's drums on the intro of this song. For you drummers out there, you're probably going to go, wow, it looks like his kick drum pedal stopped. And it did. It stopped in two spots, actually, because his foot was probably tired. He's not a drummer. But the fact is, his feel is perfect. So when you're listening to the song, it just cooks. So I just wanted you to hear that. Now let's move on to Dear Prudence. Now, Dear Prudence was another song that Paul McCartney played drums on. Fantastic track. But I've often questioned the ending of that song, because there's some great tom licks going on. And I have a theory. I think I'm not the only person on earth that does have that theory. I have read it elsewhere after I thought about it. I don't know. But anyway, the thing is that I really think that Paul McCartney played the drums on the song as a simple thing. And then when Ringo came back from his hiatus, he came in and overdubbed all those tom parts at the end. When you're listening to the isolated tracks, you can actually hear that the drum sound is slightly different from the McCartney track at the beginning, and then when the tom parts come in towards the tag. So I'm going to play you John Lennon's vocal isolated, so you can actually hear the leakage from the drums behind his singing. And you can hear a very simple drum part being played in the back, which works with the front part of the drums in the song, which Paul obviously played.
Won't you let me see you smile? Prudence, oh, won't you come out to play? Dear Prudence, greet the brand new day. The sun is up, the sky is blue.
Interesting, huh? We'll be right back with more Beetle Brunch with Joe Johnson.
Thanks a lot, Mick. Beetle Brunch, sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com.